sun has set,
the darkness deepens, and the world awakes midnight. Good evening. I'm your host, Graves. Like to have your fortune told? I've been practicing with tarot cards. I had a woman in last week for a reading. Her first card was the Ace of Hearts. I told her it meant she would fall in love. And sure enough, the next day she met a handsome stranger. She came to me again. Her next card was the Ace of Diamonds. I told her she would get an engagement ring. And she did, the very next day. So she had another reading last night. She turned up the Ace of Spades. And today, her husband hit her with a shovel. I never miss. Would you like me to read the tarot cards for you? Oh, well, maybe next time. Let's get on to our story. It's called Of Magic and Mephistopheles and begins in a small-time carnival in the middle of the Depression.
Hiya, hiya, hiya. Come see the sideshow, the ordinary and the bizarre, the fascinating and the disgusting, the odd, the strange. The mystifying.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Witness Mystic Martin, the magical marvel. See feats of magic never before performed for civilized man. It's all on the inside and it's all yours for one thin dime, one tenth of a dollar. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest magician of modern times, Mystic Martin.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For my first illusion, I should like to borrow a man's hat. Well, any hat will do, a top hat, a straw, a derby. Thank you, sir. My assistant, Millie, shall fetch it from you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every magician is supposed to produce a rabbit from a hat, and I'm no exception. But I intend to produce a rabbit, not from my own hat, but from this hat so kindly donated by the gentleman in the third row. I shall roll up my sleeves to prove that even if it were possible to hide a rabbit there, I am not doing so. Now, with a few magic words and a wave over the hat, I shall produce a live rabbit. Alakazam! Alakazam! And here we have...
Where's the rabbit?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just have some patience.
Hey, magician, have you looked under your coat tails?
There's the rabbit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I,
Come on out, buddy. You've been hiding in that dice coat long enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just give me another chance, I'd like to...
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just give Mystic Martin a few more moments, I'm sure you'll... That is, he'll be able to... forget it.
Now, the next chance, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the matter, Michael?
What's the matter? Millie, didn't you see?
Well, yeah, but...
Well, then why are you asking? The third time in 2 days, Chester's stuck his tail out of my coat.
But that's not your fault, Michael.
It may not be my fault, but it doesn't help the show any.
But the sawing a woman in half trick went all right at the last show, didn't it?
Yeah, sure, but that's only the second time we've gotten it right this week. Somehow something goes wrong at every show.
Michael, it'll get better with practice.
Millie, we don't have time to practice. The carnival owner said unless we get the act together by the weekend, we're fired.
But what would we do then?
I don't know. Magic is the only thing I know, and jobs aren't easy to come by these days.
It'll get better, Michael.
Well, there's no use kidding ourselves, Millie. We're not even good enough to work a run-down carnival. We're washed up.
Hey, Martin, you've got a visitor.
A visitor?
Yeah, some fan, I guess. Don't ask me how. Even I don't like your show. And I'm paid to like it. Want to see him?
Why not? Right now, I guess I could use all the fans I can get.
Okay.
Hey, mister, the great Martin will see you.
Gee, Millie, you think somebody may have liked the show?
Michael, I don't know.
Hello,
but...
Michael.
Carl! Carl Owen! Millie, it's Carl Owen. Remember, he built the Sawing the Woman in Half cabinet for us.
Of course! How are you, Carl?
Fine, Millie.
What are you doing in these parts, Carl? I thought you stayed pretty much in Los Angeles.
I do, ordinarily. But Blackstone is opening a new show in Chicago, and I delivered some props to the theater. When I heard you were playing in the area, I thought I'd drop in and see what you were doing.
Pretty much the same old stuff.
Yes, I see.
Did you see the last show, Carl?
Yes.
Well, you should have seen the one last night. We finished that one. What I mean,
Michael,
is,
I'm afraid I know what you mean.
No?
Yeah.
Carl, it's really not as bad as...
Don't worry, Millie. I'm not here to recall my illusion. But I would like to have a talk with Michael.
All right. I'll set up for the next show. Nice to see you, Carl.
And nice seeing you, Millie. Well, Michael...
You don't need to say it, I know.
Michael, when I built the Sawing the Lady illusion for you, I thought you had some talent. I thought you might rise above the poor showings you had in Los Angeles. I thought that on the road, playing to audiences that hadn't seen a lot of magic, you might make a go of it. But let's face it, Michael, you just don't have what it takes to be a great magician. I'm afraid you aren't even a very good one.
What you're saying is, I'm not even a bad one, right, Carl?
Yes. I guess that's what I mean, Michael.
But isn't there any way I could get better?
I don't know, Michael. After what I saw today... Well, my best advice to you is to try to find some ordinary job and give up on the idea of being a magician.
Give it up?
That's it. Because the only way you could be a good magician is if you could do real magic.
Real magic?
Real magic. Well, good to see you again, Michael. Say goodbye to Millie for me.
Huh?
I said, say goodbye to Millie for me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Goodbye, Michael.
Real magic. What if I could do real magic? No phony boxes, no screens, just real magic. Just wave my hand and it happens. Blink an eye and it happens. Don't do anything and it happens.
Michael?
Huh?
Has Carl gone?
Carl, yes.
Well, what did he say?
He said I should do real magic.
Real magic?
Oh, think of it, Millie. I could do it anywhere, anytime. Just point a finger and make anything disappear. Point it again and it reappears.
Michael, calm down.
Well, nobody would know how I did it, not even the other magicians. I'd be the biggest thing in show business.
Michael, please.
I have the world at my feet.
Michael!
Well, that's it. Real magic. I'd sell my soul to do real magic.
Mr. Martin.
What?
You are Mystic Martin.
Yes, of course.
I thought so. A pleasure to meet you.
How do you do? This is my assistant.
Yes, Millicent Hendricks. I know that also. A pleasure.
How did you know?
Your name? In my business, it's good to know a lot of things about a lot of people, Miss Hendricks.
Your business?
Yes, Mr. Martin. I'm what you call a talent scout. I search out promising people of all types and recruit them.
Recruit them? For what?
Well, I... search for people in many professions for a large number of special assignments. And as it happens, I have sought you out, Mr. Martin.
Michael, I think I'll go reset the props so you and Mr.
DeVille.
Yes, Mr. DeVille can talk alone.
A charming girl, Mr. Martin.
Yes. What was it you were saying about me?
That's what I like, someone who gets right to the point. And so shall I. I overheard you saying something about doing... real magic.
Overheard. From where?
An advantageous position. Real magic, Mr. Martin, that's what you said, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but that was just wishful excitement.
Perhaps, but what if it could be true? Imagine, just for a moment, that it were really possible.
But it isn't.
But what if it was? What if there really was a way that you could be given the power to do real magic?
Real magic.
Imagine the power to do anything you wanted, anywhere... anytime. That's what you were thinking about, wasn't it? That's what you sell your soul for, isn't it?
Yes. But just a minute. All that's impossible. What are you getting at?
I want to make you the greatest magician of all time. I want to give you the ability to perform real magic. I want you to see your name up in lights on every marquee from east to west.
But why?
As I said, I recruit talented people for special assignments. I am recruiting you, Mr. Martin. All I need... is your signature on this contract.
Say, where did that come from?
I know a few tricks myself, Mr. Martin.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. You want to do all of this for me, but what's in it for you?
Well, now, that's fairly well known, isn't it?
What did you say your name was?
Uh-huh. You finally guessed.
DeVille.
Well, DeVille is what I call myself in this century. Perhaps at the turn of the next century, I'll have changed the name to keep modern.
And that contract?
The usual. Your name goes on the bottom line. I make you the world's greatest magician with the power to do real magic. And when the time comes, I claim your soul and your mind. Simple.
Hold on, not so simple. I'm not sure I want to trade in my soul just yet.
Well, of course not right away.
Yeah, well, maybe not ever.
Come now, Mr. Martin. A moment ago, you were ready to relinquish everything just to do real magic. I'm offering you even more. Not just the power, but all the things that go with it. Fame, money, excitement. And you don't give up anything now. I just put it on account, so to speak.
Am I crazy? Here I am talking to whatever it is you are and actually believing that you're him. That you really can do all that. But you're not real. I'm just daydreaming. I must be.
Well, then, what have you got to lose?
What?
If I'm no more than a flight of romantic fantasy, then what can you lose by putting your signature on this contract? If I'm a mirage, then I'll fade away, and you'll remain just what you were a few moments ago.
Just what I was.
But if I'm not a daydream, eh? What if I really can do what I say? There's a simple little soul so much to pay for what I offer, for what you really want to be.
Hey, Martin, boss gave me a message for you. Says I should wait till you're alone to deliver it, so here it is.
Alone?
Sure. Don't see anybody else here, do you? Anyway, boss says don't bother moving on with us to Keokuk. Says he's going to get a better act for the rest of the tour.
What? Well, he said we had until the weekend.
Sorry, pal, but he saw your last show. Said he didn't figure you'd ever get any better.
Yeah, but where can I go? What can I do?
Beats me. See you around.
Well, Mr. Martin, what do you think of my proposition now?
He couldn't see you. Maybe you are. Maybe you can do what you say.
Of course.
What was that? How did my signature get on that paper?
Once you've convinced yourself, Martin, anything is possible. Come now, leave those cabinets and cylinders and other trinkets. From this day, no illusion is too impossible for you to perform. The power of real magic is yours, Martin. The world is waiting for you. You are what you never were before.
Michael didn't even read the fine print in that contract. He could find himself in hot water, if you know what I mean. Well, it's a few years later, and Michael has become the hit of show business. But all is not right with his success.
Hello, Millie.
Hello, Carl. Thank you for coming.
You sounded so worried on the phone, I had to. But why meet here in front of the theater? Why not in your dressing room? You must have a big one, judging from the size of Michael's show.
Yes, it's all right. But I don't feel I belong there. I don't feel I belong with Michael at all anymore. Have you seen the show?
Yes, I saw it last night.
And you didn't come backstage to say hello?
I wanted to, but I had an odd feeling that the Michael Martin inside this theater isn't the same one I once knew.
I've had the same feeling lately, Carl. That's why I called you. I've been losing touch with Michael. It's like I'm no longer his assistant or his friend.
What do you mean?
Well, he doesn't seem to need me anymore. I'm still in the act, but I'm more stage dressing than a real assistant. I don't handle anything anymore. He says I don't have to because everything works itself. He won't tell me how any of the new illusions operate. And the few I've been able to look at closely don't give a hint of how they work.
Yes, I've been hearing how Michael has devised all new methods for his show. He's been fooling the other magicians pretty badly.
Carl, please come inside and see Michael. Maybe you can tell what's come over him.
I don't know, Millie.
Please? For me?
All right. Ah, the palace. The pinnacle of show business. An awful lot of magicians would give anything to work here.
I think one may have given too much. This way, Carl. Here's Michael's dressing room.
Star on the door. Pretty good. Guess Michael isn't here, Millie.
I don't understand it. He almost never leaves his dressing room between shows.
Well, apparently he did this time.
I guess I've wasted your time, Carl.
It's never a waste of time to see an old friend.
What? Oh,
we didn't hear you come in, Michael.
Well, in a way, I didn't. How are you, Carl? You haven't changed a bit.
Well, you certainly have. Goatee, mustache. Your face looks thinner, too.
Well, one must keep one's image of the world's greatest magician now, mustn't one?
Indeed. You seem to have hit the right formula, all right.
Well, it's not really a formula, Carl. I just decided that if I was going to make it big in the magic world, I had to produce my miracles in a way no other magician could. I succeeded in discovering a new, method. And it's worked rather well.
Yes, it certainly has. But has it been worth the price?
I don't think I understand.
You've changed, Michael. Millie knows. What's more, I can tell just from your manner at the performance last night. The Michael Martin I knew wasn't much of a magician, but he was a pleasant, friendly, humble person. Now you're a great show business phenomenon. But what has happened to the man behind the black cape? Is he the same person?
Well, what makes you think he's changed?
I'm not sure, but there's a different feeling about the new Michael Martin.
Come now, Carl. Are you really interested in me? Or are you just jealous because I've been fooling a lot of people with illusions you didn't create?
Michael!
It's all right, Millie. That's another thing. I saw your show last night.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't say that. It was very entertaining. Very astounding. But it bothered me. Take the trick with the elephant, for instance.
Ah, yes, yes. One of my better illusions. I march the elephant on stage, pass a large hoop over her, and as the hoop descends, the elephant dematerializes into thin air. A spectacular illusion.
Michael, that trick is impossible.
Impossible?
Yes. I've been building magic illusions for 50 years. I've seen them all. Know how they all work. There's no trick any magician can do that can fool me.
So?
So last night, you fooled me. Not with one trick. Not with a couple of tricks. With every trick.
So I fooled you. What are you upset about?
Because if anyone can perform a trick that fools me, then it isn't trickery. Then it isn't an illusion.
Oh? Well, what is it?
It's magic. Real magic. It's real magic or...
Or?
Or it's evil.
Carl, I'm afraid you've reached a time in your life when things are happening that you can't understand. And when you can't understand them, you assume they're, well, evil. I've simply developed a new way to do magic, Carl. A way that fools even you. But that's progress, isn't it?
Progress? I wonder. But I must go. It was nice to see you again, Millie.
Must you go?
Yes. I can be of no use here.
Carl, I regret if I've upset you.
Upset me? No, not really. Concerned me, yes.
Concerned?
I'm concerned that even you may not know how deeply you've paid for your new power. Goodbye, Michael.
Michael, is it evil?
What?
Carl said that if your illusions aren't trickery, then they're evil. Are they?
Millie, Carl distrusts what he doesn't understand, an attitude from the Dark Ages, unfortunately.
Michael, you haven't answered my question.
And Millie, what is evil to one person is merely expedient to someone else. Now, why don't you go to your dressing room and get ready for the evening show?
All right.
My, you're getting to look more like me than I do.
Oh, DeVille! I didn't hear you come in.
Well, in a way, I didn't. But you are becoming the image of me, Mr. Martin.
Well, I decided that if I'm in league with the devil, I might as well look like it.
I suppose, but that phrase, in league, I never really...
I'm sorry, Michael, I think I left...
Come in, my dear.
Millie, you remember Mr. DeVille, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
Yes. It's been almost 3 years, hasn't it?
I guess so.
Well, look, we've got to get ready for the evening show. What is it you want?
I'm afraid there isn't going to be an evening show, Mr. Martin. Tonight or ever.
What?
Yes. Your contract has come due. and I am here to collect.
Michael! It's true, then, isn't it?
Millie, it's a long story.
Which I'm afraid he won't have time to relate. Time is at hand, Mr. Martin. Your soul is mine.
No!
It's only been a few short years. My career is just starting. I could go on for years.
Yes, you could, probably, but not now. In some future life, perhaps, if I choose.
But I've got lots of new illusions that haven't even been seen yet. I thought of making someone in the audience disappear, or even having the whole audience disappear.
Spectacular feats, I am sure, Mr. Martin, but I'm afraid they will never be seen. Your audiences can imagine them as something you might have done had you not so suddenly disappeared.
What?
Of course. What did you think? I was going to kill you or something? Much too violent. No? You shall simply disappear, leaving no trace.
Well, what about Millie? She's heard. She'll know.
Yes, that could present a problem. Of course, I could take her with us.
No!
Yet I think I shall just leave her. The story she would tell would be so fantastic that no one would believe it. In fact, that's been a saving grace during my entire career. No one ever believes the eyewitness accounts of my escapades.
But look,
Martin, you made a bargain with me. You got what you asked for. More, in fact. Now it's time to settle up. Your soul is mine, and I want it. Now!
What if I said you couldn't have it?
Others have tried that tactic, Martin. It's never worked. They're all mine now.
Well, I'm not going.
He's not going. He's not going. By Hades, listen to that. He's not going.
Don't laugh at me.
Why? What are you going to do about it,
Michael, why are you looking like that?
Real magic, Millie. I can do real magic. People have sold their souls to the devil before, but no one has ever asked for the power I have.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Martin?
The ultimate trick, DeVille. You gave me the power to do real magic. But do you know how much power that really is? I never knew. But now, we're both going to find out.
What are you doing? No! No, stop! You can't do this!
See just what I can do, DeVille!
Stop! I give you more time! I'll give you more time! You can go on! Stop! Stop! Stop!
Michael, where did he go?
Away.
But all you did was wave your hand at him.
I know.
Michael, you look strange.
Strange?
Yes, like you're a different person.
Different?
Yes. You look the same, mustache, goatee, but you seem different.
Well, maybe I am, Millie. Maybe I am. That's what I like. Old people making way for the young. Especially in the business of evil. Michael Martin should do very well. As long as he watches out for other young upstarts. Magic and Mephistopheles was written and directed by Roger Rittner. Featured in the cast were Brendan Avery, Leonard Sloan, Arthur Dutch, and Isabel Lee. Also heard were William Irwin and Bob Farley. Sound effects by David Surtees with Mark Trella. Production assistance by Bonna Newman. Engineering by Gil Jones. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, until we meet again, this is your host, Graves, reminding you that wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be.